The Skin of Her Teeth by Stilton Basket, read by Daisy Diversions. Bandams, The Untamed, and Motozusha. Archive Warnings. Creator chooses not to use archive warnings. Rating, teen and up. Category, FF and Jen. Relationships, Jianyun Lee / Jinzi Xuan. Additional tags include canon divergence, female Jinzi Xuan. Content warning for Jin Guanshan, hopeful ending, and alternate universe, gender changes. Summary: if our children are girls, they'll be sworn sisters. If we have sons, they'll be sworn brothers. If one of us has a son and the other has a daughter, why, they'll be husband and wife. Or, Jinzi Xuan's elopement interrupted. Who wants to be Zhang Wenyin's wife? Jinzi Xuan grumbled after her cousin, Ji Yan, finishes seeing the Zhang contingent out of the inn they rented in Inkai. He's too loud, and he can't control his temper. What's more, I've heard he gets jealous easily. That's a terrible, terribly unattractive trait in any Junzi, let alone a sect heir. He is your intended, though, Mian Mian reminds her. And unattractive or not, he's going to be your husband. He's not a bad sort, so why antagonize him now? He's not going to be my husband if I have anything to say about it, Zixuan says darkly. She might not have any say now, of course, since Mother was furious when Jin Zixuan asked if her marriage arrangement could be changed, but the fact remains that her betrothed had been changed once before. For at birth, she was engaged to the young master of Lao Ling Qin. But something had happened when she was around 4, and her sworn sisterhood with Jianyun Li was dissolved in favor of a betrothal with the latter's younger brother. No one bothered to inform Jinzi Xuan of the reason behind her canceled engagement to Qin Su. According to what her maids managed to find out, it had something to do with Qin Gongzi's late mother. But Qin Su and Jin Zixuan had already gotten along well, so Zixuan had been planning to break her current betrothal and reinstate her old one ever since her hairpinning ceremony. What if Ah Su and I just eloped? She wondered aloud, as Mian Mian turned down the covers of her bed and tucks a pair of fragrant pouches under the pillow. Mother wouldn't buy it if I pretended to be in love with him, but if we bow to the earth and heaven at the temple at a temple somewhere and run away and have our wedding night, she'll have to accept it. No one else would have me then. At this, her maid Yu Liang emerges from behind the privacy screen with her hands clasped at her breast. Xiaojia, you should do it, she urges, staring at Zixuan with such bright eyes that Mian Mian pokes her in the cheeks and bursts into laughter. You keep saying that you and young Master Qin are only friends, but isn't friendship the best foundation of a good marriage? Jin Zixuan nods. Whatever her mother thinks, she really isn't in love with Qin Su, and as far as she knows, Qin Su has never been in love with her. But anything would be better than marrying Zhang Wenyin of all people, and moving to Lotus Pier of all places. And if this betrothal goes ahead, Zixuan will have to spend the rest of her life on a lake in the middle of nowhere, tending a household that refuses to employ a sufficient number of servants, and pretending to smile whenever Jun Wenyin tries to say something clever. "You're right," Jin Zixuan says decisively. At her right, she hears Mian Mian let out a gasp of excitement. "No one will be watching me at Cloud Recesses. I'll write to Asu as soon as I can and tell him to get ready. And then, if he agrees, we'll set a date and run away." It will be a scandal, Zixuan knows, but the thrill of it all but makes Lan Ling look favorable on her marriage, and Mother won't be able to interfere after Zixuan becomes Qin Gongsi's lawful wife. She writes to him on the fourth night at Cloud Recesses, explaining her plight and imploring her friend to take pity on her circumstances. That is, if he has no beloved in his heart already. Jin Zixuan is not shameless enough to come between two people who love each other. And she did hear that Qin Chongyi might be considering an arrangement with An Ping Rong's first daughter for Asu. Luckily, Qin Su writes back and tells her he scarcely knows the young lady in question. Qin Chongyi is determined to see the prospective engagement through sometime within the next year, which means that Qin Su will have to find a love match within that time to refuse Rong Young. And since Zixuan is offering, Qin Su is more than willing to rebel against his father and marry her. "I do not think Rong Yan would be willing to marry into my clan," he wrote, "and I have no interest in hobbling a woman who wishes to become a clan leader in her own right. Rekindling your old betrothal to me would be the best for everyone." "He accepts," Zixuan whispers to Mian Mian early the next morning. "Qin Susu wants him to marry Ah Ping Rong's young mistress sometime next year, but Asu doesn't even know her. He heard that she wants to challenge her younger brother for the leadership of Ah Ping Rong, so he's agreed to go along with my plan." The date of their elopement is tentatively set for Qi Shi night, close to the end of the lecture courses in Gusu. Qin Su will have to prepare a residence for Jin Zixuan without anyone discovering their intentions. So Zixuan can't leave the Cloud Recesses right away. But the appointed day arrives so quickly that it feels like no time has passed at all. And before Zixuan can quite realize the enormity of what she and young Master Qin are about to do, she finds herself escaping from her dormitory at half a Qichen before midnight on Qi Shi. In keeping with Mian Mian's advice, Jin Zixuan packs lightly for her trip. She will have to fly to the outskirts of Lao Ling alone and completely unnoticed. So she takes only a few sets of robes, some money, and a travel kit stolen from the disciples' supply chamber. With her necessities accounted for, she crosses the warded boundary that separates the Cloud Recesses from the surrounding mountains and sets off towards the flickering lights of Kai. If freedom had a taste, she realized, it would taste like this. Like cold night air and damp fog on her lips, and the fragrance of crushed pine needles from the trees slipping away beneath her feet. Jin Zixuan closes her eyes and breathes in deeply, hardly daring to believe that her plan had actually worked. Her future will be properly secured when she sees Mian Mian and Yu Liang again. For as young Madam Qin, she won't have to live far from Lan Ling. She can go home to visit mother and father as often as she likes. I won't have a mother-in-law telling me what to do either, she thinks ruefully. Muchin might like Madame Yu, but I can't stand her. And if I'd married Jiang Wanyin, he'd have let his mother boss me half to death if it pleased her. Thanks to Qin Su's help, everything had turned out perfectly. Or it will, as soon as Jin Zixuan reaches the meeting place Ah Su mentioned in his letter. What is more, even Jiang Wanyin might find happiness after the gossip about her wedding dies down. For Zixuan and Qin Su were engaged when they were children. So the Jiang Hu will readily believe that Zixuan ran away out of love for her first intended husband, and not because she disliked her current one. Jiang Wanyin ought to be grateful, she laughs to herself, turning a jubilant somersault on Sui Hua. He always said I was too proud, and I've always thought he was rude. We're equal in that way. He's never liked me, and I've never liked him. But by running away with Qin Su instead of finding myself a real lover, I've made Zheng Gonzi's path forward as smooth as it can possibly be. No one will blame him for my choice, and since my betrothal to Ah Su came first, no one will blame me either. But then, just as Zixuan passes over the ravine where the Kaiyi River flows down the mountains, she hears someone calling her name through the mist, so faintly that she decides she must have imagined it. Jin Zixuan shudders and presses on, picking up speed and flying another li amid a growing sense of unease. She bypasses Kaiyi in the next half hour, turning towards Lao Ling. But just as the glow of the village begins to recede behind her, a small purple figure bursts out of the fog, hurtling towards Jin Zixuan like a particularly determined bat on the hunt. Zixuan, the figure shrieks, cupping its hands over their mouth. Zixuan, it's Yan Li. Please come back. You can't run away to marry young Master Qin. Zixuan kicks Sui Hua around and turns to face her pursuer. Who told you? She demands. Well, never mind. It's not important. It's none of your business. So go back to the cloud recesses. I overheard Liao Qingyang talking to Yu Liang. Jun Yan Li gasps. I wasn't going to tell anyone, I swear it. But they said that you were on your way to meet Qing Gongzi, so I had to come after you. Please, just stop for a moment, Jin Gunyan. I can't. Go away. I don't want to marry Zheng Gongzi, so I'll do as I please. Zixuan turns away, muttering under her breath. But a split second later, she hears Jun Yanli scream and looks back to find both her and her sword tumbling towards the lake below. Jin Zixuan shrieks an alarm and dives after her. This was another strike against the entire Zheng family, for Zheng Wenyin knows nothing of delicacy. Jun Yanli is a soft-hearted fool, and their adopted brother is some brand of strange that Jin Zixuan hasn't worked out yet. But he can't let Zheng Gongyin get hurt. So she plunges downward as quickly as she can and catches her quarry, barely 10 feet above the water. What is wrong with you? She growls as Jun Yanli's Zheng slaps into Lake Baling and disappears under the surface. Everyone knows you can barely stand on a sword, let alone fly 20 li by yourself. Have you taken leave of your senses? Jen and Li bursts into tears. You can't marry Jin Hunxi, she blubbers, sobbing all over the front of Jin Zixuan's robes. It has nothing to do with Ah Cheng. I'm going to leave you at an inn and find a Lao Bong Nye Nyang to look after you. Jin Zixuan interrupts, biting back an oath with some difficulty. I'm sure you meant well, but I have my own considerations. Please try to understand, Madam Jiang. To her dismay, Jun Yongli cries even harder. You're the one who doesn't understand, she wails, clutching at Jin Zixuan's collar. Listen to me. You can't run away with Qin Hersheng, because Qin Gongzi is your brother. Jin Zixuan stops dead and nearly falls, too bewildered to be angry with her. What? There's no good way to say it, so I'll just tell you, Jun Yanli says, trying to wipe her face with her sleeve. Qin Hersheng isn't Qin Chongye's son by blood. He's your father's. Jin Zixuan drops her. Jun Yanli screams in terror, her real thin limbs flailing helplessly in the air. But Zixuan manages to regain her wits in time to catch her again. What do you mean? She wheezes. She has always known that her father hasn't been faithful to mother, for he visits brothels when he leaves Jinlingtai on business, like most men of the gentry do. But the late Madame Qin was a noblewoman, the wife of his dearest friend. What's more, father would never have betrothed Zixuan, his only daughter, to a boy who might have been her brother, so your father forced himself on Duong Lu Ying 9 months before Qin Gongzi was born, Jun Yanli whispers, lying limply in Zixuan's arms like a sack of wet rice. Your mother came to tell mine about it just before she broke your first engagement. They both thought I was in bed, so they didn't bother to lock the door. But I wanted to sleep with Ah Cheng in the nursery, and I had to pass by mother's office to get there, so I overheard. I'm sorry. Jin Zixuan shakes her head violently. Father wouldn't have done such a thing. And even if he did have an affair with Madame Qin, he would have known if he was Asu's father. You're wrong. Jun Yanli looks up and meets Jin Zixuan's eyes. You need not take my word for it, she says quietly. There are talismans you can use to identify blood relatives, or arrays that determine paternity from a few strands of hair. But, Zixuan, if you elope with Qin Gongzi now, you will have to marry him, brother or not, or denounce your father before the entire Zhenghu with evidence of his crimes. Or else you will have to accept disgrace and be known as a fallen woman for the rest of your life. Those are your only choices. And if you have a child with Qin Hersheng, your shared blood might do the baby harm. As a mother, could you bear it if such a thing were to happen? Zixuan says nothing more after that. She makes her way to the far shore of Biling Lake, Jun Yanli a dead weight in her arms. And after she reaches the bank, She puts her unwieldy burden down and collapses onto the sand. "You're telling the truth," she says at last, staring down at her knees. "Either that, or you believe that you are. You're not lying to me." Jian Yan Li shivers beneath her thin violet gown. "No, of course not. I would never."
"And I suppose you're right," Jin Zixuan says, wiping her eyes.
"I still don't believe that father would have had an affair with Qin Shushu's wife, much less done that. You were just a child when my engagement was broken, so you probably misunderstood what mother said. But since you're not lying, I'll have to investigate this matter myself. As you said, something like this may mar my children in the future. I can't take such a risk without finding out the truth." Yan Li nods. "You could write to Jin Furen," she murmurs. "If she thinks you already know, she'll probably just admit it." She curls up into a ball and sneezes 3 times, then begins to cough.
"You've caught a cold," Jin Zixuan says numbly. "That won't do. Isn't your health quite frail?"
"It's not so bad as that," Jian Yanli tries to assure her. But Zixuan ignores her and gets to her feet, sweeping Jian Yanli back into her arms before she sets off for the safety of Kai.
"You need a hot bath and some food," she insists.
She puts her cheek against Yanli's brow to check her temperature and discovers that her skin is warmer than it should be. So she picks up her pace, brushing off Yan Li's protests, and does not dare to lower her guard until her charge is tucked into bed at an inn in Kai. After Yan Li forces down some supper, Jin Zixuan goes back into the village to rouse one of the physicians in the infirmary. While the doctor tends to Jian Yanli, Jin Zixuan shuts herself into the next room away and writes a letter to Qin Su. And after the doctor and her messenger butterfly depart, Zixuan makes her way upstairs to check on her would-be sister-in-law. Jian Yanli is asleep when she enters, breathing peacefully with one small hand tucked beneath her head. Zixuan puts another blanket over her, for fear that her cold might worsen during the night. And then she retreats to the empty bed on the other side of the room. "Madam Jiang," she says at last, "I can only hope you are mistaken, but if Fuchin really..." Jian Yanli sleeps on and does not reply. For some reason, Jin Zixuan's eyes fill with tears. "Good night, then," Zixuan whispers, clambering into her own bed. "Sleep well, Yan Li, and thank you."
Author's notes? Omake! Madam Jean, hopefully.
"So you'll marry Jian Wanyin after all?"
Jin Zixuan.
"No, I'm a lesbian now."
Omake 2. Jian Yanli.
"Sorry, Ah Cheng. I'm stealing your wife."
Jung Cheng.
...
Come say hi on Tumblr at Stilton Basket. And comment to feed your local Shuang Li stan today. Reader's notes. Is it weird that I like it so much more when they're both women? This was kind of cute. I shouldn't say kind of. This was cute. I really enjoyed this. I was in horror basically the whole fic, being like, oh my god, Qin Su, like, No, It's like the curse of all the Jin boys to just fall in love with Jin-Su. And I just hate that for Jin-Su. Who's done nothing wrong other than be born in this like really horrible, traumatic way, not have any knowledge of it, and growing up completely divorced of that reality, and just, oh. Oh, man. Anyway, glad that Jinzi Xuan avoided that one. Woof. And yeah, it didn't even occur to me. Like, when I read the summary, and I went into this cold, by the way, but when I read the summary and I saw that it was like, oh, you know, if we have, you know, two daughters, they'll be sworn, whatever, the whole thing. I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, maybe the subversion is that they will be, you know, they'll be sworn, they'll be sworn sisters, and then they'll fall in love that way. And then they'll be like, oh, maybe we just keep going with this, right? And no, Stills and Basket was like, no, they're not going to be sworn sisters. They're going to engage, they're going to engage her to Jiang Wenyin. She's going to have to marry Jung Chung and she's going to hate it. And like, beautiful. Love that. And just, I feel like, you know, I think maybe just Jinzi Xuan is just like a, what do you call it? Like a contrarian, right? It's like he was raised in such a, and she in this case, they're raised in such a spoiled way, just kind of getting whatever they wanted. And just having just endless amounts of privilege that it's like when they are told like, yeah, this is something you have to do and it's outside your control, they're just so resistant to it. And I wonder if that's the case, right? That it could have been anyone that they would have been engaged to, that they would have just been like, screw that. I want to pick my own person, right? I want to be able to do what I want here. And maybe it is this world where, Jinzi Xuan isn't intended for Jiang Yanli that actually gives them that chance to have Jinzi Xuan pick Jiang Yanli from the beginning. Like, well, not the beginning, but you know what I mean? Like, to be able to make that decision and be able to do that and have more kind of free will be involved. Maybe that is, what really needs to happen here. I don't know. I'm also like writhing in horror at the idea that this means, because we talked about, like Jin-Soo was saying like, oh yeah, I want somebody who will marry into my clan. And it's like, oh, this probably also means that like the actual sect heir is probably Jinzi Shun. And I hate that. So like, hopefully if, you know, they're able to pull this off and Jinzi Xuan and Jiang Yanli get married, then hopefully they can lead the sect together instead of it being Jinzi Xuan, because I hate that. I really hate that. But at the same time, if Jinzi Xuan marries into Lotus Pier, she's going to have the same problem to have to, you know, answer to Madame Yu, and would probably, I totally get, hate that. That would be real bad. Although maybe not, maybe actually, you know, maybe Madame Yu would actually be kinder to Jinzi Xuan because of her relationship with her mother, right? Which would maybe freak everybody else out. Like, why is she being so nice to her daughter-in-law and not her own actual children? I don't know. But yeah, let's imagine that future where they can take over the Jin sect instead of it falling to Jinzi Xun, because yikes. Anyway, this was a joy and a delight, as always with Stilts and Basket, a lovely way to cap off my weekend. And I'm going to stop talking because it's 2:00 in the morning here. And you guys know how it goes. If you've listened to me before, I'll just keep yapping at the end notes because I don't want to let it go because Stilton Basket's the best, and I want to hold on to this feeling for a while, but we are going to do it. We're going to let go. So thank you to Stilton Basket for having blanket permission to Podfic. And if you've made it this far, please consider going back and leaving kudos and or comments. Follow Stilton Basket on Tumblr for exclusive content. And thanks for listening.